basically the J.K. Simmons J. Jonah Jameson at the end of Far From Home is a grieving father.
Venom 2 : Flash Thompson is in the middle of a tug of war between Carnage and Shriek and Venom and Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man
Wait, this is all one movie?
Yes, all of life is one movie.
That's right. That's right.
Welcome back to New Rockstars. I'm Philip Molina. This is Rogue Theory. Today we are talking about how Spider-Man and Venom are going to be maybe new best friends, or at least that's what the theories are going to get into. Joining us on today's episode are Eric Voss,
Yay!
Angelica Trey,
Hello!
And Marina Mastros.
Yay!
All right. Also on this episode, we're going to talk about a possible Catwoman storyline. We got Catwoman news about the new Robert Pattinson Batman movie. We'll get to that later. But first, guys, Rogue Theories. The rumor is that these two are going to come together. So how are Venom and Spider-Man going to come together? Tom Hardy specifically and the director of the Venom movie both hinted this week that Spider-Man and Venom are about to appear together in a movie. We thought this might happen before in the Sony multiverse, and we know there was some sort of agreement. So let's assume that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What exact story is going to happen?
Okay. So my pitch is for Venom, the next Venom movie, and that the crossover happens in the next Venom movie.
Venom 2.
Yes, Venom 2, not... This is not a pitch for the next Spider-Man movie. This is a pitch for the next Venom movie. Okay, and that's where the crossover happens. So basically, Flash Thompson in Far From Home is Spider-Man's friend. He's a little bit of a bully, right? And we have like a running bit in that movie where he's texting his parents and they never really get back to him.
Yeah. Hilariously sad. Yeah.
But like he's rich, so it's fine. Like it's fine to
typical.
Yeah, they're just working.
He's
in Europe. He has weird hours.
The fact that his rich parents gave him their number is a big step forward for that 1%.
Yeah.
That's love.
Okay. They were like, finally a vacation. But so this is a running like bit through the movie is that his parents kind of are inattentive, right? So my theory is that his parents are actually scientists and they've both been working for the Life Foundation.
Oh. Ooh, crossover
time,
alert.
Right?
Bam.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the crossover or how it starts, right? So they've been working for Life Foundation, both of them. They're both like, very experienced, smart scientists, and their kids in Europe, so they're like, he'll be fine.
Reminder that the Life Foundation in Venom 1 is basically the villain of that movie that is causing all the symbiote drama.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So his parents are working with symbiotes, and they do not get infected themselves, but they bring it home, okay? Ooh. After the Far
From
Home.
Like on their
home.
Shoe.
Yeah, like on their, it's a gum.
And their briefcase, it just crawls out of their briefcase.
Yeah. And so they bring it home by accident. This is after Far From Home happens. They bring it home by accident, and it does attach itself to Flash.
Mm.
So the Venom movie is Venom finds out like, oh, there's this kid, word on the street, like he's a reporter, right? So word on the street is there's this kid who's also been infected with the same thing I have. So he's like, I'm going to go help this kid.
I mean, Eddie Brock is.
So he's like, I'm going to go help this kid, deal with this. And Flash is also getting convinced to essentially like, more or less join the dark side, but, different universe by Carnage and Shriek. Because they're also going to be in this.
Shriek just announced is going to be in this movie.
Yes.
And then Carnage, Woody Harrelson, we saw in a post-credit scene
for
Venom.
And it's basically a tug of war. And Spider-Man shows up to help his friend Flash. Because he's a little bit of a bully, but by the end of Far From Home, they're cool, at least. And he wouldn't abandon him. So they're like, he respects Spider-Man, but he doesn't like Peter Parker.
So then you have Spider-Man and Venom teaming up.
And Venom teaming up. To being basically a tug of war, Flash is in the middle, Carnage and Shriek are over here being like, be bad, eat people. And then, Spider-Man and Venom are over here being like, no, don't eat people.
Although Venom will eat a person.
Yes, he will. But he doesn't feel it in his heart.
He feels it in his gut.
Guys, he's just very hungry.
That certainly is worth a Rogi for Marina, because that's very plausible. I actually feel like a lot of that could happen. What I'll also wonder right now, I'll ask you, is who wins?
I'm going to say that Carnage and Shriek win because that's how it sets up the next movie.
New quarter, Rogi.
Yeah.
For you, because I'm a big fan of that. Add to the villains.
Yeah,
Make everything worse for these people. Mm-hmm. I always love that. That's my dream.
Okay.
Heighten.
Angelica, make it worse.
Okay. So I'm thinking a little differently from your Venom movie theory. I'm thinking it's going to be in the next Spider-Man.
Okay.
So if we remember from Far From Home, At the end, a journalist outs Spider-Man and his identity.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes. Yep. So I'm thinking maybe in the next movie, it's going to be Spider-Man 1, and it's going to be a lot of journalistic focus towards the beginning here.
Yeah.
And we're going to see Eddie Brock come out as maybe like a rogue journalist.
So this is like a intense, deep action journalism movie.
Right? Yes. It's all going to be about journalism, hard hitting. Yeah.
Well, All the President's Men, great movie. Yeah. Shows the effects of journalism on Empire.
And Tom Holland's going to be in it for like 2 seconds. So it's just going to be about journalism. With my theory, I'm thinking maybe Eddie Brock, he starts to sympathize with Spider-Man because he hates J. Jonas Jameson.
Yeah.
Did I J. Jonas?
It's okay. You can put S's wherever you want.
Very hard.
Yeah. So Eddie Brock hates him. And he's Venom during this time. And I think maybe he's going to team up with Spider-Man at some point and fight against maybe an ultimate villain in this movie. And I'm thinking maybe something like, I don't know, the Sinister Six.
If it's the route where they're enemies, then maybe we can really villainize J. Jonah Jameson. And there are many stories where he's actually the whole creation of either the Sinister Six or certain villains are created by him in order to take down Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So he definitely could be the person that is the mastermind behind bringing in all these villains. Mm-hmm. We still got to get in Eddie Brock for personal reasons.
But you know what? The personal reason's already there. Yeah. If you think about it, at the beginning of Venom, one of the astronauts on the Life Foundation spaceship was John Jameson.
Right.
That's his son. That is J.K. Simmons' son, who is dead now. And so, like, basically, the J.K. Simmons J. Jonah Jameson at the end of Far From Home is a grieving father who is probably, like, the Life Foundation covered up that whole accident.
Right. Yeah.
He's probably
like,
you know what? I'm going to go into conspiracy theories to try to, like, figure out what happened to my son. And if he finds out that, like, Eddie Brock has this symbiote attachment, he's going to hate that
guy. As far as he knows, that's what killed his son.
Yeah, he could blame that death on Eddie Brock. Whereas Eddie Brock, like, you know, he's probably like, okay, I'm Ronan Farrow versus Alex Jones. Like, I hate this guy for other reasons.
Yeah.
But then
all coming together.
Very topical.
I'm going to give you this roguey.
She basically made you guys flesh out her theory for her. Like, she
that's
just like,
I mean.
Did and then you guys did all the work.
Right there. Yeah. It's just like all the pieces. You know, these movies just have so much, like, contents and loose threads that you can usually tie some of those threads together and figure it out.
Speaking of forcing theories, Eric.
Okay, here we go. Okay. I got it. Okay, so like Marina, my pitch is for the next Venom movie because I think they were starting to put together this Venom movie before Sony and Marvel put together their plan. So
that's
I think the next Venom movie is just going to be a Venom and Carnage movie.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to pitch that the movie title is going to be Venom : Maximum Carnage because I think they're going to be borrowing from the Maximum Carnage comic series from 1993, which followed Carnage's latest breakout from prison, where he's able to like kind of recreate the Carnage symbiote, and he basically has these like children that he's puppeting to be other villains to wreak havoc around Manhattan, and that Shriek comes into that story. So I think that's why the fact that Shriek is going to be like his romantic interest, I think they're borrowing from
that
comic series.
Can you drop us a quick explainer for people who don't know who Shriek is?
So Shriek is a mutant, basically, and her skill is to she has like sonic abilities, which is why she's such a threat to Venom, because Venom's one real weakness is like sonic energy and sonic waves. That if you remember, there was that scene in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3 where that's how Spider-Man's able to defeat him. He uses those poles and he hits them to create these sonic waves that destabilize the symbiote. And in the Venom movie with Tom Hardy, that is one thing that's kind of revealed, like a plane flies over his head and those sonic waves causes it to kind of freak out.
Yeah.
So that's one way that, you know, you can destabilize the Venom
symbiote.
Also,
whales would be a big weakness of this.
Yes, whales. Or really anything, because everything makes sound.
Yeah. Or just general screaming. A lot of babies.
Babies are a big weakness.
It was kind of a weird thing. The MRI caused him to freak out, but MRIs don't use sonic waves. They use electromagnetism. Whatever.
Science.
Science is the key.
Right.
All right. So we know who Shriek is.
So I think that's, we're going to see something like that in Venom 2, Venom Maximum Carnage. We're going to see Woody Harrelson's Cletus Cassidy fighting Tom Hardy Venom. It's going to be just kind of a further exploration of what we saw in the first Venom, where Tom Hardy is a rogue journalist and he's locked in a battle with this story subject, which is the serial killer who has broken out out of, where was it? Was it, wasn't Rikers? Just, it was San Quentin prison.
Eric, I'm worried. This is the least rogue you've ever done.
But where it's going to go crazy is the post-credit scene of that film, which will set up the crossover with Spider-Man.
Okay.
Because now it's going to set up at this point what the second of the Tom Holland Spider-Man films will be in the MCU, which will be a massive crossover event that will bring in not just the Fantastic Four, but it's going to bring in the mutants. So in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, his roommates, his college roommates, are not Robert Blake, Bobby Drake, Iceman, and Firestar. Firestar is actually also part of the Maximum Carnage storyline.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to start to see how the mutants, we're at the end of Phase 4 now. We're going to start to see how the mutants come into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's going to involve this massive conflict where the Cletus Kasady and Venom are all going to be tied in with the Sinister
Carnage
Six.
And Venom.
Carnage and Venom. And I think the big battle, the big bad at the end of Phase 4 will be the Sinister Six.
Cool.
Maybe I lost it. What was the post-credit scene specifically?
Post-credit scene is going... Carnage's next target is going to be Peter Parker.
Oh.
That's the first hint of that side of the universe that we're going
to
see.
Then the follow-up movie is having Tom Hardy's Venom has to help save Peter Parker.
Yeah. Well, and just to be a bit more specific and rogue with my idea, imagine like Cletus Kasady after losing his battle with Eddie Brock, Venom is somehow about to murder J. Jonah Jameson because J. Jonah Jameson has somehow gotten in the middle of that fight, maybe out of revenge for his son's death. Mm-hmm. And then he says, it's not me. The person you want is this kid. And he sees Peter Parker and he's like, oh, this is Spider-Man.
Is
he
holding
gonna be
a little photo?
Yeah,
it's in his wallet.
Yeah.
It's in a locket. He opens the locket. This is who you want to kill.
Yes, yeah.
This is my hate locket.
On his vision board is a picture of this high school student. Everyone's just kind of like, that's kind of weird, right?
He's a
young man. He's under 18. So that's going to set up this next movie. And I think the true crossover will either be that second Spider-Man movie where everything's going to cross over. It's going to make Endgame look like a mere team-up movie.
I hate that voice when he gets into that voice.
It's going to set up a true Sony Spider-Man that, because Tom Holland's contract will have expired, they're going to have a Gwen Stacy or a Miles Morales that crosses over with Venom in their future that they can control, or Disney will just buy everything and in Phase 5 they all get to be together because Sony doesn't own Spider-Man
anymore.
Wait,
this is all one movie?
Yes, all of life is one movie.
That's rogue.
Right now,
so
what's happening
that's
now?
That's very rogue. Yeah. Okay.
I was put here to make people smile.
That's very rogue.
Here's a one rogue block for that one whole thing.
Yay!
I do have to say I like that he includes mutants in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to point out really quick that I think Marina thinks whales don't exist. And the craziest thing that could ever happen is a whale
show. Yeah.
Well, a whale showing up would be pretty crazy. They're huge.
They're big.
Literally, that's the thing that happens. And they covered on the news. They beach themselves.
Okay, but
well, every time I go whale watching, you don't see them. So are they real?
That's actually whales real? Super true. All right, guys, give it back to me in a tweet.
Okay, in a tweet, Venom2: Flash Thompson is in the middle of a tug of war between Carnage and Shriek and Venom and Spider-Man. # go Gotham.
And Shriek is spelled like Shrek.
Shriek is spelled like Shrek, yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to think of a good name for this, but Spider-Man closer to home.
Ooh.
Venom, Eddie. Okay, wait.
That's my favorite pitch yet. There's no cutting this. Spider-Man closer to home is your pitch for the third title.
That's it.
Homecoming, Far From Home. Closer to home. Not yet home, though.
Sliding into home.
The Journalist Strike Back. Just kidding. Wow, that's like multiple names onto this.
My tweet was terrible.
Just keep doing it. Yeah, and then colon after colon. Okay, maybe like
#
Jar Jar Binks, Jar Jar Martin, J.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That was a tough one to say. J. Jonah Jameson. Okay, I think it's...
You almost did it, but
J.
then
Jonah
you stopped.
Jonah Jameson. Okay, J. Jonah Jameson.
Believe in yourself.
Okay, you know what? I'll practice it at home next time.
Yeah, there we go.
I love how the tweets are supposed to make these easier to follow really quickly.
Yeah.
But
I think that was easy.
#JJJ.
If people see it, they're going to be like, wow, there's a lot of names in there.
Yeah.
That's all we want in our movies.
Home.
Actually, that's why Endgame
was
a success.
It's kind of funny.
Closer to Home is funny.
Closer to Home is my favorite part of it.
Yeah, you're forcing us from being writers just pitching open ideas to editors having to make sense of it. It's a very hard job to make it into a tweet.
#...
Oh, God.
No, hold on. Hashtag donkey.
Yeah, yeah. Donkey.
Okay. So my tweet version of it is Venom, Maximum Carnage bleeds onto Peter Parker and his mutant friends.
Ooh. Hashtag.
Somebody worked on their tweet.
No,
someone had time to think of it.
You didn't include a hashtag, and I call baloney.
Who's baloney?
Bologna.
No, Bologna.
He didn't include the hashtag.
Yeah. Don't guess Bologna.
Guys, I feel like of all of those, the final additional one that I'll give it to, it's still Marina's, actually.
Yeah.
Because that one, it was the easiest to follow. Just pretty soon, those two are going to cross over and they're going to team up.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm also really excited to hear what you guys have to say about how Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman
right.
is going to come into the Batman universe.
Ooh.
But real quick, thanks to our sponsors. Do you sometimes get stressed out or maybe feel some anxiety or, like me, some chronic pain? Or even if you have trouble sleeping once a week, guys, you're not alone. A lot of people have some of that going on. I legitimately have a lot of shoulder pain that I try to work through every single day, especially when I'm working out. And I've been using Feels. It's premium CBD that's delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. I take it every single day, and it's totally replaced my dosage of ibuprofen that I was taking every day. I don't need it at all anymore because I actually can finally move my arms without feeling that pain, and legitimately it's just this CBD that's doing it. All you have to do is place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and you feel the difference within minutes. I do it as soon as I roll out of bed in the morning. It's super easy. If you're new to CBD, it's not a big deal. Feels offers a free CBD hotline and text message support to help guide your personal experience. It works super naturally to help you feel better. There's no high or hangover or addiction or anything like that. So join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order and you can pause or cancel it at any time. Feels legitimately has me feeling my best every single day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/rockstars, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/rockstars to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/rockstars.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Guys, news came out this week that Zoe Kravitz has been cast as specifically Selena Kyle, aka theoretically Catwoman.
Yeah, right? I love Catwoman.
Great, good cast.
I love Catwoman.
So we've
good
seen a lot of Catwoman before in different Batman properties. It's actually one of the most represented characters actually in live action. And they've been so good, and also Halle Berry. And so I just want to know, even though I really like her, but this is supposed
great.
To be
We're trying
a
to
very,
forget about that. Yeah.
This is supposed to be, she was also Storm, which was the same level of good.
Well.
Guys, this is supposed to be a grounded detective movie, though.
Very
that
noir.
We haven't really seen. Yeah, they keep describing it as noir. So, what is Catwoman's character and storyline in this upcoming Batman movie? Go rogue, please.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's the roguest version of Catwoman I can think of.
Okay.
One who is not like a batshit crazy sexpot. What if she's just like an established, stable veterinarian who works a lot with cats and nursing them back to health?
Why can't she be a sexpot?
Because that's what we've always seen. So we're thinking on opposite days.
She's meant veterinarian is not the opposite of sexpot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
actually, they're quite aligned.
Oh, what do you know?
Oh, God. Never mind. I can't share this.
If I'm going to trust my pet in the hands of a veterinarian, I don't want one who's super horned up in that moment. I want
horned
one
up.
Who's properly sexless.
They themselves have been spayed and neutered.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's the proper veterinarian.
So to do it, you have to suffer it yourself.
Right.
It's like gang initiation.
Imagine if it is a detective story, I imagine Robert Pattinson, to be a detective, it's like an episode of Law & Order. You go from location to location to location. And gather evidence, and then it leads you to the truth, which is something dark, and you probably did it yourself. No, in this case, he's going to an old source, an old contact of his, which is Selena Kyle. And the reason I bring that up is she's been cast as Selena Kyle, which all the news, you know, headlines are saying, Catwoman's been cast. It's just Selena Kyle. What if she's just Selena Kyle?
Just a neighborhood and veterinarian.
She's never been Catwoman, or
she used to be Catwoman. Oh, okay.
She was stealing to go to vet school.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that works.
She's just trying to pay off her student loans. Yeah.
Yeah. What I really liked about Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix is that she used to be a superhero.
And
now she's just like a private eye. So imagine a Selena Kyle that's somehow in that kind of world.
That's cool.
Where she's just trying to move on and live her life, and Robert Pattinson, Batman, Bruce Wayne's dragging her back into the mystery and the drama, and she becomes, her life gets threatened as a result of being implicated in this mystery.
I really like a lot of that.
That version I wish was Michelle Pfeiffer. Right? Wouldn't that be cool if like they returned to her and she's just like older and she's like, yeah, I used to be able to fit in that insane outfit. Now I'm just caring about these animals.
Yeah, maybe in this one she's not like the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman who was like resurrected via cat.
Cat-like?
Cat
spirit. I kind of liked it.
Oh, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. But like, if we're gonna start a new chapter,
no one's surprised that you're like a cat person.
Okay, Philip. but she's got the cat suit under her lab, her
it's hanging
vet
up.
Coat. Yeah. Okay.
So retired Catwoman is pulled back in by Batman.
Yeah.
I'm into it. All right.
See, Angelica, I was thinking a little bit more along the lines of maybe it's like right before she becomes Catwoman or something like that. But since this is so noir, I always think of Dark City. But I think she's going to show up as like a femme fatale character.
Yeah.
I think she's going to just like appear in it. She's going to have some coiffed hair, like a problematic lifestyle where something's going wrong.
But what coiffed hair means?
It's like, it's side parted like, and it's like wavy. Right?
It's the noir curl thing.
It doesn't go all the way in a curl, but it's waved.
And it's just like, moody. It's this.
Eric's hairstyle in high school.
You'll know it when you see it. Yeah, Eric, yeah, there we go. Boys, get
it
together.
Can we bring up a picture of Eric from high school? Or?
And there it is. Just a picture of Zac Efron. Great.
Yeah, that's
what I looked like. I did not hear coiffed. I heard coiffed.
I know you heard. Yeah.
Hashtag queef.
Queef tag.
All right.
Now, can you, what does that look like? A queef.
It's just all blown back.
Whoa! Give me the queef.
It's like Marty McFly after he did the guitar strum.
It's what it is.
Okay.
Marty!
That's not what her hair is going to look like in this, though. She's going to look great.
We're not allowed to use profanity, but we can describe queefing in detail.
Oh, God.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's just a hairstyle.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to see this after post. So she's going to probably be a damsel in distress, I think. And she's going to show up with some issues. And then she's probably going to, like Robert Pattinson's Batman is going to find out that she's a little more dangerous than she seems. So that's where
she's going. Are we doing the straight up, it's a noir film, the damsel shows up at the beginning, but really maybe is actually behind the crime itself.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Or maybe like some sort of peripheral part of the crime, or maybe she's causing her own havoc.
Without spoiling it, because I'm starting to feel more and more like this might be what they do, you might be pitching Hush. And we've in other weeks also have been talking about Hush. And Catwoman and Batman, their romantic sparks start up in Hush, at least in one version of the romantic sparks. That's where it kind of comes from, and it definitely has this weird question of, is she a victim or is she partially involved? And it ends in a very, it has a little like kind of a post-credits thing, but you just never really know.
So you're saying we should hush on Hush?
Ooh.
Sure. And
by the way,
get out of here, Eric.
When they say hush in the comic, it's what you say right before you kiss someone. Oh, so yeah, Eric, whenever you're ready, we're all down to hush.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Quite the hair first,
I'm
okay?
I'm myself.
Yeah, so I think she's definitely going to be along those lines, because Catwoman's always been that sort of gray area, mm-hmm. chaotic, neutral. What is she going to do next? And yeah. I think this is a great spot for her to like lay in this movie.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe her she costume will be the gray costume from the animated series.
Ooh. Same. I was thinking more noir, like costume. A deep cut with the satin and the long sleeves, but okay, sure.
I'm yeah. thinking of
coiffed hair.
Yeah. An unwashed veterinarian's lab coat.
Just wow. frazzled hair.
Why does she have to be dirty?
That yeah. reminds me of like...
Because she's working so hard.
All right.
She's not an unwashed veterinarian. The lab coat is unwashed.
It's an
unclear antecedent.
Michelle Pfeiffer, at the beginning of the Batman movie, when she was Catwoman in it, she was the like receptionist or an assistant, and she had that super frazzled hair.
She's frazzled.
The like sweaters mm-hmm. and yeah. stuff.
All the villainesses of those early era Batman movies are always frazzled. Uma mm-hmm. Thurman was
glasses
frazzled.
Glasses that suddenly right. disappear yeah. once
or they become askew like in one second.
Yeah, she's like, oh no.
She couldn't possibly be attractive.
Filling everything.
Take those off. Yeah.
Whoa.
True 90s fashion.
Yeah, definitely.
I like it. All of that.
Wow. All of it, the whole thing. I like it too. Okay, so my pitch is that Selina Kyle is the daughter of a crime boss. And so back in time, the crime boss is married to her mom, right? They're together. And finally, you know what? Her mom gets sick and tired of this neglectful husband. And she takes her daughter and she gets a divorce, like the strong woman that she is. And so Selina Kyle grows up in a household with just her mom. And she doesn't find out until later, because her mom wants to keep her away from this life of crime, right? She just wonders like, oh, like, gosh, I wonder who my dad was, like, da-da-da. But she eventually finds out when she's a teenager, like, oh, your dad is actually this huge crime boss. And the reason that you don't have a dad and the reason that you are isolated from the rest of your entire family is because of crime. So her mother, who is a strong, single, independent woman, leaves that man, gets a career, does her own thing, and raises her daughter to do the same. So Selina Kyle has been, she's now a geneticist. She's very smart and capable and independent. And this is where the only part where the cat thing comes in is that she,
okay. the this cat is, thing.
This is where that little cat thing. Yeah,
she once saw a cat once. Anyway.
A cat crosses her path. Yeah. She meows on it.
Just likes Hello Kitty. she's a geneticist, and she's in charge of the entire program to keep rare cats alive and breeding successfully. Mm. Like when they take one cat from this zoo into another zoo, like she's basically in charge of like keeping wild cats species diverse and present and not endangered anymore. So she's very respected in her field. And the only other kind of like, it's very like realistic, but the only other kind of superpower that she maybe has that they'll just like allude to
Flight.
Is
sort of
lots of guns
laser vision. It's like, you know how Princess Jasmine just like kind of has a connection with Raja?
Yeah.
Like
a little creepy one, yeah.
Yeah.
She can control cats.
She can't control cats, but like she's the big cat sense, like she just has good energy. So like if she's ever in trouble, which doesn't really happen a lot because it's a zoo situation, but like they'll just be down for her.
But you definitely are setting up a action sequence where they come to get her at the zoo and last second her version of Raja just like claws the hell out of someone.
Or she just goes
someone.
Pounce and all the tigers.
And Sir Pounce the cat from Game of Thrones.
Like, that they're still alive.
That reminds me a little bit of like Poison Ivy, where she like summons the plants.
Yeah,
it's cool. Okay,
it's more like realistic and less like maybe campy than that. But
if it was really
only...
realistic, they kill her too.
Yeah. She has a cool. energy.
But then she comes back to life. She's Catwoman.
Yeah,
okay,
she's
they nibble her fingers and then she comes back. Yeah, no, just kidding. Yeah.
So because she's a geneticist, what if she like can she like inject herself with like cat juice?
She can.
She can, but she doesn't like to do it often.
So she's actually part cat.
that.
If she has her superpower, so I'm with
grounded,
you. Like, this is pre-
she said. Grounded.
I'm taking off the rails here, okay? Yeah.
Cat juice. Rogue
theory. She's calling me rogue. Can she put cat juice in her, and then she got cat juice in her brain, and it makes her think like cat?
She's got big cat energy. All right.
She BCE. Yeah, that's part is true. She does have big cat energy. Mm-hmm. That part is true. Okay. But anyway, so they Batman and Selina Kyle run into each other because she on the side is now pissed at her crime boss dad. Right, so she's her.
Can we say it's Carmine Falcone?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, now I feel better.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. So she's been like on the side, her night job, like messing up his crime syndicate, and they don't know who it is because she's very good. Okay, and then Batman runs into her while they're both trying to fight the same crime, and he's like, "Who's this?" And she's like, "Bye," because she has her own thing going on. She's a very independent lady.
Well, she's a geneticist saving cat kind.
Yeah,
and she hasn't drank the cat juice yet today.
She needs her cat juice.
She's put cat juice in her brain.
Don't talk to me before I've had my cat juice.
If you don't like me before I've had my cat juice, you don't deserve me when I'm a tiger.
There you go.
That's in the opening.
Yeah. I like it's grounded. I could see it happening. You know, she sprouts a tail and uses it to fight crime. I get it.
Yeah.
Guys, the only theory here that I think is worthy of a blog, I'm sorry, is Angelica's.
Your guys' other theories
are worthy of all kinds of adjectives being thrown at them.
Wild.
And
oh boy.
And I think
you're welcome.
I think only. Yeah, it wasn't just because of the weird thing that we may have cut from this episode, but also because it's the most in line with what I like. We said with Hush, it's everything is pointing toward this like noir film.
That's a good one.
And she's in there. And also, I just don't want her to be just a veterinarian. It's like I don't like being a
frazzled.
I want a happy life for Selina Kyle. Yeah.
I like that too. But I really like the thing where why can't she have a happy life? You know what I mean? Like no matter what she tries, it's still. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
No, you know what, Eric? I'm sorry. You can have half one.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's tiny, tiny one.
Yeah, I do like your idea, but you're my favorite this time. But there's still ways to make up points. Remember that whoever, whoever gets the most rogues by the end of this gets a wish to come true.
Wait, we don't get to do tweets for it.
Oh, because you came up special with a tweet. Well, let's go ahead and build it up and say real like these tweets are going to be real good.
Okay.
Angelica, what's your tweet?
The Batman : feline femme fatale.
Ooh, that's very good.
Fat man.
Alliteration.
Feline femme fatale.
Just let me have my partial not acronym. What's it?
Alliteration.
Alliteration. Thank you.
Yeah.
There we go.
Do you feel better?
J. Jonah Jameson.
She's okay, making it.
Philip is actually.
I got it out. Yeah.
Go ahead, Marina. What do you?
Carmine Falcone's daughter is Selina Kyle. Also, she has Princess Jasmine powers.
Ooh, okay.
Hashtag keep tigers alive.
Ligers,
yeah.
My Catwoman tweet is just a video from the Dodo of like some animal rescue people finding a bunch of kittens under a landfill pile, and then they nurse them back to health, and then they find new homes for them.
That's adorable.
So cute.
My wish is that Eric has to hold his face like that for the rest of the
video. Give it a couple months, it'll be
just,
like that.
Yeah, just paste it and post. There you go. And just put over his face.
That whole time. Zac Efron's body.
Yeah. Wow. That's cute.
Eric, you earned another rogue with crossing
with little kitties.
With commitment. But remember, this can all go totally out the window because you can get so many rogues right now off of these rogue questions. These are questions that we haven't seen. We have no idea what they're about to be. But the answers are going to be pretty rogue. Are you ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brie Larson revealed last week that she's never watched any YouTube videos about Captain Marvel. How offended should Eric be?
100% offended.
Yeah. Maximum.
Maximum offense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like I should take the opposite end of this now. Just not offended. Okay. Because it might ruin her character. Being in character. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of romance ones, I bet, with like romance, like Wonderwall over it, you know?
Yeah.
And like weird, just, I can imagine it already.
I think you should be a millennial watching one of their favorite childhood stand-ups do a new comedy set. That level of offended. Guys, no rogues on that. Zombieland Double Tap comes out this week, and in it, the heroes explore an abandoned White House. Where's the first place you're exploring after the zombie apocalypse?
Oh, I know. Shut up, Eric.
he wasn't talking.
You go to, if anyone's read this, everyone's going to hate this answer, whatever. You go to the UCLA library and you board it all up so that nobody else can get in, because all the knowledge in the world is kept in there and you can do whatever you want for the future. You can survive. You can learn how to build anything you want. And it's also from the book Earth Abides. Everyone hates my answer, but it's very smart.
Is there food in there? It's really smart until you run out of the food.
Yeah, I was like, is there food in there?
Well, I was like, it tells you how to grow food.
I'd want
to
do like a tour of
books?
Like, yeah. Okay, agriculture books.
Just eat you turn the books into food.
They're made of trees.
You eat trees?
Yeah. What?
Angelica, where'd you go?
So I'm thinking maybe like a tour of celebrity mansions.
Oh, cute.
I think that would be really fun. And then you can like raid their pantry and stuff. And
oh, cute.
Yeah.
Hopefully like Bill Murray's house in the first Zombieland.
But a
which
tour.
Celebrity? Which celebrity?
I'm thinking like the weirdest one. Like you could possibly find. Like a Charlie Sheen moment or something. Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, like
somebody
something
with
real
some
quirky.
Hidden rooms. Yeah.
Yeah. Not someone that's only going to have like expired juices in their fridge, though. You know what I'm saying?
Gwyneth?
Cat juice?
Yeah, no
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I mean, honestly, Gwyneth Paltrow's might be pretty fun to raid, though. What are we going to find in here?
Just
a lot
cleanses.
Of goop.
A lot of goop.
A lot of goop. A lot of yogurt that you should not eat.
Yeah, really.
So I would go to Galaxy's Edge, and I would go to Disney, which, you know, I can go there right now, but I don't want anybody there. I don't want any of the rides to be working. I don't want any of the food to be eatable. I want it to be rat infested. I want zombies to be trying to
There's going to be
someone
a lot
help
of
Eric.
Gross blue milk.
You know,
someone
I have
help
to
Eric.
Push the rides and grind them along the tracks myself because electricity doesn't work.
This is where Eric reveals that he would just put on all the character costumes and that's how he would exist in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, cut me saying this, but I totally expected him to say
that's an idea.
It was getting into a dark place. Yeah. Like I could see you. You're in the Mind Palace, it's and then the you went to a really dark
earth.
Room in there.
Eric, I'm giving you a
you just wear the costume.
Because
he
I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. Also,
you're worried about him.
Angelica, I'm giving you one because
like
it was good enough for a movie. And then,
but it's a tour.
And then I don't believe you, though, you could eat the books.
All right, fine. You could make a fire.
But. It'll all be figured out right here on this last rogue question. Guys, Chris Hemsworth said this week that he wants to remake the film The Three Amigos with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans.
What? He's okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Not a question yet.
I already have an opinion. What's your answer?
The three white guys. Guys.
That's my answer,
What other 80s movie do you want to see them team up for instead?
I want to see Weird Science where Downey plays the same character he played.
Oh, I think you said where Downey plays the sexy model that they make or the sex creature.
That's Groot.
Yeah. I'm just thinking Ghostbusters right now.
That's great.
Chris Hemsworth was in the... a long forgotten Ghostbusters. Yeah.
It's about time for an all male Ghostbusters.
I think it hasn't been done before, right? Yeah. Wow.
Okay. What about Monster Squad? It's
ooh.
Halloween times.
Yeah. Fantastic. Great answer, and a third rogie goes to Marina for that answer.
Monster
Can we
Squad's great.
Sum up our totals?
I have 3.25. What is that?
Sure?
Yeah, 3.25.
I have 3.
I have 3.26 because of how I measure it. we
nice structure.
Dang it.
Here's what we'll do. You guys both win. You guys tied. So we'll do both of your wishes. All
right.
Angelica's yours will be shredded immediately.
Oh, no.
Right. Mine was funny. It was.
Eric's wish is that everyone, including Eric, punishes himself
immediately.
I want to do it, too. That just means something he's good at, usually. Must talk like Shrek for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, okay.
Marina's wish. New Rock Stars has to tweet that she was right about the end of
El Camino.
Donkey.
Without spoiling, just that she was right.
We won't include any spoilers, but my prediction was right.
Oh,
at the end of the last episode, I was right.
Angelica,
my picture's up there to prove it.
That's right. Marina's theories are like onions.
They stink. Have liars. Oh.
Okay, hey now, you're rock stars for watching this show.
So
thanks.
Much gravel in Phillip's
woods. Hey now.
Swear to Phillip. That's all for rogue theory, brother.
Thanks. thanks for going rogue with us. Thank you to our guest, Angelica Trey, Marina Mastros, and
Donkey. Eric!
Donkey!
Eric.
Fiona! Fiona!
Farquaad.
Don't forget to subscribe to Rogue Theory Podcast.
New Rockstars!
Marina's got the best one.
You can say the rest of it if you want.
Like, okay, yeah, we're. Don't forget to subscribe to Rogue Theory Podcast feed and stay tuned to YouTube channel for this and other shows. Follow us on Twitter at New Rockstars. Follow me at Philip Molina.
Full up.
Full up.
Not Shrek, but someone interesting.
it's just you and McGregor from Trainspotting.
All right. Go about your days.
As Shrek famously says, go about your days.
Get out of my swamp.
It's time for me to die.